Welcome to the Kavod Family Podcast. Kavod Family exists for the restoration of families and the transformation of communities. Welcome to the Kavod Family Podcast. This is your host, Travis, and we got...
Casey Wilson.
How are you, man?
Good, brother. Hey, we've got some friends in-house with us this morning.
We do. Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Morning.
You want to intro them?
You got it. You're more familiar. I've missed a lot of the meetings with them. I'm kind of bummed. I'm in the dark with a lot of this stuff.
Well, we had an incredible opportunity that came into Kavod Family, and it involved you two, and it involved this future project that came together. And so this is Dan and Dina. Dina Booknight, right? Dan Finnerty. You guys, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Dina, why don't you start?
Well, I've pretty much lived all over the East Coast and graduated from High Point University and went to Cambridge University and just majored in journalism and English. And so I've been writing and covering things all over the world and just had a really enriching career. And was living in South Carolina. And when I empty nested, I decided to come back to North Carolina, where I had lived for a while. And my sister and some other parts of my family are in this area. So... been here since 2017.
Okay. And Dan, I'm not from here.
I'm
not even going to mention where you're from.
Yeah, so I grew up on a dairy farm in Pennsylvania, and then as a young adult, joined the military sort of out of desperation, but it ended up working out. I was enlisted and then an officer for 21 years. I retired from the Navy, and then I took a job at the National Security Agency in the D.C. area, and I did that job for 13 years. Until 2020, and we all know what happened that year. So around 2020, I decided I probably need to do something else. So in 2021, I took a short retirement from NSA, and in that process, I had followed my daughter, who came to Franklin to do a National Park Service law enforcement course, and I decided to do the same course in the summer of 21, and that's how I ended up here.
Really? That's how you ended up in Franklin?
That's how I ended up in Franklin, because my daughter had done a course here, and I decided I was going to be a park ranger. So I ended up coming here to take the law enforcement course.
Then how are you sitting here now? What happened after that?
Well, I went out and did a job for the Forest Service in Montana last summer, which was great. It was a great experience. Learned that it could snow in June. Didn't know that until I got to Montana. And we came back, I came back mid-August of last year, and Dina and I at that point were dating, and I had proposed to her prior to going to Montana and ended up back in the area. We got married last October 14th, and in that process, Dina, knowing what a big sports fan I am, that isn't always positive, but I did a lot of writing for the Navy. I was in intelligence and in management for different parts of 25 years. And there was an opening at the Macon County newspaper here locally, and they needed a sports writer for the high school. Okay. So I took on that job, and that is how I ended up being employed by the paper starting last fall.
And he just settled right into that. I mean, I've been doing it for almost 40 years, but he was just a natural. So he's had this weird, we joke because that was like his fourth career. But he started writing, and I hardly had to edit anything, and he started making connections.
That's how you caught her attention there.
But going back to how we met, I kept being asked by a lady in my Bible study to host – different students that came in for these park ranger law enforcement courses. And I told her, no, I had an 800 square foot cottage and I felt like it was too small. And in December of 2019, she called me and she said, well, there's this young lady and she really doesn't have a place to stay. She's coming from Pensacola. She needs a place. Why don't you just try it sometime? And so I said, okay. And when Dan's daughter walked in the door, I just immediately fell in love with her. And we became fast friends and went through the pandemic together. I broke my leg. She helped take care of stuff. And we kept in touch after she graduated. And then in January 2021, she started communicating to me that her dad was going to come and do the same course. in the summer, late summer, early fall, and she wanted me to be a resource just to answer questions because he wasn't familiar with the area. And she just kept pushing it. She kept texting me and texting me, will you be a resource? And I kept saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And finally she said, well, why don't you just reach out to my dad?
Yeah.
And you know, reach out and tell him who you are and all. And then we started talking on the phone, and we literally talked on the phone for 3 months, for hours and hours and hours, and then the rest is history.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
It was very interesting because I'm not a phone-talking person, but I recall telling Dina that I'd get off the phone after her. I learned she was an author. My daughter had never revealed that. And so I read all three of her books, and that told me a lot about who she was. And just the conversations we had, I'd look at my phone, and I'm like, I just talked to her for 3 hours. I'm never going to hear from her again.
you went and bought her books and read them?
All three of them.
Good for you.
Immediately. And then we talk about that. And yeah, he said he did learn a lot about who I was and what my foundation was and stuff like that.
He was getting some intel. He was trying to get ready.
My daughter,
I like it.
My daughter is like my mini me, and I have twin daughters, and I joke about one's like my left shoulder and one's my right. But they're identical twins, but yet they're sort of opposite in the way they approach things sometimes. But I'd asked Marissa once, I said, what's your landlord like? Because, you know, I'd never met Dina. Even for the graduation, so-called, they didn't have one because it was May of 2020. So instead, our family came together here for Marissa, and we just kind of hung out for a bit. Well, Dina, at that time, I thought maybe I'd meet her as Marissa's landlord. You know, we hadn't talked yet, but she was nursing her broken leg at her sister's farm, so I didn't even meet her then. But I remember asking Marissa one time, I'm like, well, what's your landlord like? She goes, Dad, she's like a female you. And I'm like, well, I don't think that's necessarily good.
I was like, is that good?
I said, I don't think that's necessarily good, Marissa. And she goes, no, Dad, in the good ways. And so I always had that in the back of my head when we finally did meet. But yeah, definitely those conversations and learning about how Dina looked at things and just how much we had in common, and an important thing, spirituality, worldview, all that. And that's sort of how it all came together.
Right on.
And we've just become really great partners and everything. And then here we are with this project.
And you guys are celebrating your one-year anniversary this weekend?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
at your daughter's wedding? Is that what it is?
At her son's wedding.
Yeah. At your son's wedding.
Yeah. Okay. But it really feels like we've been doing life together for a long, long time. Not just recently.
In a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun, though. That's, I mean, really how it is. We won't derail too long on the marriage thing. But when you find your person, it's like your best friend. And you've done all life together, even though you haven't. You feel like you have, you know? So that's super cool. And it's super ironic, too. Like, you're 1 year and then your son's wedding. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the value of, like, when a marriage takes place, you know, it's this miracle that where God takes two human beings, they become one in his eyes, right? But then for you to get to experience that in work, right? Like, so how do you know that you're one? How do you experience what God has done? This mystery,
do
this
life,
miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to start doing life together, right? Well, now that you guys get to birth this paper and literally lead it together and be able to do this together, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could have told me 3 years ago that first I would have experienced everything that's happened since, you know, the pandemic, and most of it was – you know, I changed my life kicking and screaming, but yet this is where, you know, God comes in because God always directs everything. But seriously, at that point of life, like Dina had alluded to earlier before we went on the air, that both of us sincerely, I know me in particular, like I'm a type A and I'm okay, Lord, lead. And then 2 seconds later, I'm the one trying to do the leading. And for once in my life, from a relationship standpoint, I'm like, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to go do this park ranger thing, and I'll go out and see bears and deer and fox, and I won't worry about relationships. And almost immediately, sooner than I could have ever predicted, the wheels were set in motion on coming down here to Franklin, and then Dina being my only point of contact, and I had never met her, and just all the things that I spoke about earlier that came into play. And to look back now,
it's quite comical, right?
It's something.
Did you catch that? God, I'm done doing it my way. I'm gonna go into the woods.
Yep. And hang I was out say, with yeah, animals. That's exactly what all of us would do. Take our ball and go home.
I finally surrender. Now I'm gonna do this.
Al, thank you. Also, I think Dan went through the process of really trusting the Lord because while he was out in Montana, he had arranged for his home in Pennsylvania to be rented out, and he spent a long time figuring all that out.
And I was afraid to cut the cord completely. Really what it comes down to.
And while we were driving out to Montana, I was going to leave my camper out there because he had to stay in in a bunkhouse, and I was going to stay in a camper while I went out there to visit him. He found out that the people that were supposed to be renting his house were not going to rent his house. And so while he was out in Montana, he had to put his house on the market, sell his house, buy land here, and get all that process going and have somebody else pack his house, his entire house up for after he'd lived there for 13 years.
That sounds like not the way I like to do things.
That sounds like heaven for a type A person.
Very much trusting the Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
And he put me in a place where I had to, and that's really what it comes down to. I mean, honestly, I couldn't do anything other than the way the dean had just described it, and it tormented me. It really did. Buying land I'd never seen, although Dina did, and I trusted her.
That's fun.
But cutting that cord, right? I spent years in the military, and I like to tell people that, I mean, I like to have fun. I like to do exciting things, but I always have to have that base to go back to. Well, the thing that changed in 2021 when I left my high-paying job, right, about an 80% pay cut to get out of that madness.
Yeah.
And then the home that I lived in for longer than any place else my entire life was this home in York, Pennsylvania, that I've been in 13 years. And when I left the area to go to Montana, I thought, well, I'll be back next fall and we'll figure things out. Well, while I'm out there, I can't do anything but essentially put in a position where I had to sell the home and then buy this land here. And it just, again, God put me in a position where, okay, you're trusting me, here
it's
you go.
It's mine.
But it has been like everything, such a blessing, so smooth, and it's just been wonderful. And then now we come to this project that we're doing together that is absolutely just providential.
I can relate with how God says, hey, I want it, and it's mine, and you just have to relinquish control. Because like this whole process of, shoot, the nonprofit, the paper, all this, we're like, we know that we don't know. We don't have a clue, but God, you're wanting this, so here we go.
Well, I mean, you had a group of gentlemen, right, that came together and we started praying together over some coffee early in the morning, praying about how can we, one, are we leading our homes? Are we leading our families? Two, are we leading our businesses and our community that we're a part of and influencing it in a way that is honoring to God? And then how do we continue to do that on a greater scale? And so we started praying and just kind of surrendered the future to him. God, here's a group of husbands and their wives that are set apart and just saying, hey, we're willing if there's any way that we can serve this county. If there's anything that we can do to benefit this county and to promote, you know, godly resources and family and a culture that would be pleasing and honoring to him. And this project kind of fell into our hands, right?
Yeah, it's insane. Like it's so cool to see people working on it and passionate about God and with their gifts that I am. I don't think you guys realize how terrible I am at writing.
No, we've heard.
Like, terrible. So the idea that this is sharing God's love in the story, and I'm not the one trying to figure it out and just get to run with other people who love it, I mean, it's amazing. It's awesome.
So let's talk about the paper. We have this brand new newspaper that's going to come out on October 12th, right? That's the first print. Mm-hmm. October 12th, 2023. We met officially agreed to that commitment. Gosh, what was – I mean, the start on this project was September 3rd. So we gave ourselves a 30-day,
yep,
you know, breath to the printing house, make the first copy, make the first print, lay out all that. And really the only reason this was able to happen is because of the staff that came over from Macon County News.
Correct.
And the talent and the experience that you guys have, right? I mean, how many years, Dina, did you have as a writer and then already working in this county as a writer? I mean, quite a bit, right?
Well, I have almost 40 years of experience writing, and then I've been writing for Macon County News as a freelancer for since 2018.
Okay.
That was another thing that, you know, Dan came back from Montana, started immediately writing for Macon County News last year, and so he's had, you know, almost a full year of writing, and for that, all that foundation to happen before he, you know, becomes the manager now and the writer for Making Sense, and that, you know, it just, everything's just worked out very well. And then we have the staff that we were able to bring over, Teresa Tabor, she's the editor, I'm the managing editor, And she has many years of experience just writing and laying out newspapers and creating content and assigning articles. And then we have a designer, Shauna Bilbrey, and our ad person is Jay Baird, and he's very well known in the community by businesses and organizations.
So your guys
mostly for his beard.
Mostly for his beard, Jay Baird. And so because of that experience, you guys already had the relationships and the connections to be able to bring this together.
Right. There's a lot of logistics. And as I shared with you earlier, you know, just the amount of content that has to go into each edition, the amount of photographs, the amount of ads. I mean, it's a huge production. Unless you have the people who have the skills and their wheelhouse and all the logistics are coming together, you can't do it. I mean,
This is what you sent me earlier today, because I had asked you. I said, "Give me a picture of what's all included in a print." And so you sent it over to me. We have 24 pages that's coming out, right? 23 articles, 12,000 words, 40 ads, 20 plus photos. All of that for one print,
right?
One newspaper
edition,
right? And your side of it. I mean, your background is in journalism, right? And so most of that has to be fairly new news, right? You want to write something that's fresh.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of that gets produced kind of last minute, right? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I would say about 15 or 20% maybe is news. But other things are more, you know, in-depth. We want to look closer at, and we call it that in the newspaper, closer look, a closer look at different issues that are going on in the community. So it's just more – it's not necessarily – up to the minute news, but it's current and looking in
depth. Deeper dive, yeah.
Right. And then also just providing information about history and different aspects of, you know, different people and places and stuff in the community that people might not know about. Dan did a series for Macon County News before it closed about some of the different coaches, and he was able to do a deep dive into who these coaches are and where they came from and what their philosophies and coaching were. So it helped the community to get to know them better than just a quote in a sports article.
So this is going to sound like a dumb question, but I'll be the guy to ask it. I mean, you've had over 40 years of experience writing, and with Macon County News closing, and then with the offer to start a newspaper with people that you, besides Tom, don't really know, like, why were y'all interested in it? Like, it's obvious your passion for writing, but
right.
Why start over with a bunch of bearded hooligans?
I think
I understand where you're coming from.
I mean,
people
like,
that didn't necessarily have experience in the newspaper production field.
I mean, I know why we wanted it, which we'll get into, but, like, I'm excited to hear, like, for you guys to start your own and to go with people that you don't really know that well.
Well, part of that was the path to get to where we were at, in part. We thought that the Macon County News would be up for sale and that maybe we would be able to purchase that and just continue the tradition that the Macon County News was in this community, which was positive. We've learned from many people since it closed about how much they missed it. And so anyway, we were already sort of going down that road considering purchasing and then continuing the legacy, continuing the tradition of the paper. And so to answer your question somewhat, we weren't committed, but we had already entertained the possibility of continuing that paper. And then, again, the way God operates, right, we weren't sure how much our hands would be tied or how much we would be limited in our own a stamp on that paper. And then it turns out the sale didn't happen. The paper closed. So one of the things we were worried about initially was how we would get some of that experience that you referred to earlier, Casey, writers and salespeople.
Right.
Well, then the way it ended up, Macon County News closed, and we had the opportunity to start a paper up from its inception from the ground floor, and God provided the expertise that we needed to do that. So that's how we ended up with Making Sense, the new paper. Really, within about 8 weeks of Macon County News closing, will be our first edition. Yeah.
And I think that Tom, who's a board member with Kavod Family, he's the one who, a few days after, you know, we started talking about all this, he said, "Well, you know, that's kind of a vision of Kavod Family," and so we just – started talking about that. And I mean, I think Dan and I feel like your role is really as support, you know, not just financially, but just very much encouraging support. And we need that. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah. And that's the Tom, I think it was one of our life groups where we had, I think just in passing mentioned that, that the paper might be up for sale. And there's Tom like, really? So I know some people are interested in maybe trying to start up a paper. And that's how it all started. I remember the first time Tom said Kavod, I went,
what is
Kavod?
That?
What's that? Yeah. And that was, I mean, probably about 2 to 3 months ago. And here we are today.
Mm-hmm. Just that story alone, the providence of God in it, right?
Right.
Because you don't want to be that group that just went out and poached somebody from another customer and stole their staff and did that.
Right.
So you're looking at a life here, and it just happened that the closing of a paper took place at the time of a birthing of a paper. Mm-hmm. It's actually a beautiful picture of life.
And the staff is so excited. I mean, we're just, you know, it's amazing. Just the energy and the talent and the excitement. And everybody we've talked to in the community is excited.
So one of the things that you loved about Macon County News and that you were so passionate to bring over was this idea of objective journalism. You were just adamant. We need to be able to tell the facts, leave the facts, just paint it as it is and let the readers interpret the facts, right?
Right.
Let them understand that. Would you dialogue about that? Help me understand exactly what you mean there.
Well, I went to journalism school, and it's I say old school journalism, but it's just really the basis of what journalism is and means. And journalism is to observe and to collect and to present that information. You're not supposed to ever have anything about yourself, your own philosophy, your own ideology in that article. And I remember when I went to a Folio conference one time in D.C., we had to write different articles based on stuff. And we would give it to the professor and he would say, rewrite it, rewrite it, rewrite it. There couldn't be one tiny thing in that article that, you know, presented anything that was biased. And so objectivity is just really presenting the information. And the good thing about working with Teresa, and I wasn't on the staff, but I was a freelancer, is that she really appreciated that, and she was, you know, allowed me to do that. And so much of the world today in media has completely gone the way of presenting someone's own ideology and the writer advocating for something and coming at it from their own stance and outward instead of looking at the world and presenting that information.
Sure.
I think that I've worked for some liberal publications in terms of, you know, writers doing that where they use adverbs and adjectives and you know exactly where someone stands when you read the article instead of just getting the facts. But I've always stood fast to my beliefs about objectivity, and that's what this new newspaper is going to be about. I mean, we are going to have areas where the public can speak out about different issues or share things that are encouraging or helpful from a first-person basis. But
right.
When we write news, when we write features, when we write sports, it's going to be objective.
Yeah, that's important. Even for us, I think that was the thing that we were most attracted to as a Christian nonprofit was here's somebody who's willing to write the facts. I mean, even Christians make failures. Like we goof up, we make mistakes. And when we do, we need to own it and talk about it, express it, ask for forgiveness and move forward in life. Right. And so we weren't looking for somebody that would just write in favor of a small group of people. We wanted somebody that would talk about the community, share what was going on in the community and let us just know the details, just whatever it would be, whether that was commissioner meetings or library meetings or town meetings or school events or sport. Just tell us what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the objectivity is absolutely critical to being legitimate or being reputable to the community.
Right.
And we all know, like even being a history buff, way back when the newspapers were the mode of communication,
yeah.
Looking at the early history of this country and if you read some of the old papers, how acerbic and negative, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, way back then, the papers could be. And we definitely don't want to make sense to ever get confused with a paper with an agenda. So instead, we want to tell the news, and oftentimes news may not be positive at its base. However, I'm confident that you can be objective and then as a human being have a choice to either paint a positive picture or a negative right. picture with that objectivity. And I'm confident that for this paper, if ever given the choice, we're going to lean in a positive direction.
Yeah, we have a code of ethics that we're going to follow. And it's been interesting because in the last couple months, we've had people come up to us. We went to a meeting with a lot of the community leaders and chief of police and some other people in the community. And they came up to us afterwards and said, you know, are you going to, when we say something in an interview, are you going to publish it the way we said it? Or are you going to publish it the right. way you want it to be said? And that's, to me, is the core. I mean, in all my years in journalism, I thankfully, and this is the one thing I'm most proud of, I've never had anyone say I misquoted them.
Right.
And you know, that's what we want for this newspaper.
So even in our bylaws, when we work through our policies, we have strict protocols set up around like you, around the editorials, around those that are going out and reporting the news, right? And making sure that you represent the people that are speaking. And then for those, there's another part of this paper that is going to be filled with opinions and stories and life and just other things that we think benefit local community, local family. They build up family. They speak to.
Restoring the family, transforming the community.
That ethic that we love.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love the tagline for Making Sense, you know, your community, your stories. There's a lot of people that have, you know, neat stories to tell. We were able to just talking to different people and trying to cultivate writers, which we're getting writers from Franklin High School and Western Carolina and different people in the community. We found this woman who she's got these real humorous stories that have to do with food and food culture and food ways. And so she's submitting. And it's just neat to. You know, it tells about the community, but it also shares some information that might be helpful or encouraging.
Yeah. I think, again, like we talked about earlier, focusing on the community, focusing on the local happenings, being relevant to the people who are reading the paper. I think they value that. Obviously, they appreciate a free newspaper, and it doesn't cost anyone, just like with Macon County News. But the other thing, to pick up the paper, but another thing to keep in mind, I think, is – you guys had talked about it earlier, right? There's if you're just getting out in any business, starting out in any business or any career, the incentive can sometimes become personal in terms of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
I think one of the benefits that we have, I think it was Harry Truman said once that there's no limit to how far you can go as long as you don't care who gets the credit. And for us, we've had our careers, right? We're both non-spring chickens and we're bringing on a lot of experience. And I don't think any of us in this paper are trying to make a name for ourselves
right.
or trying to prove who we are or what to our readers. And because of that, if we take that approach, it's not difficult to be objective. It's not difficult to quote someone for what they said because we're not trying to skew opinions. We're not trying to impress people. We're just going to try to tell the story as accurately as we can. And as I said earlier, if there's a car wreck, and you're reporting it, there's only so much positive you can spin out of that.
Sure.
But if there's a positive thread to write about, we're going to do that.
Yeah, we're not going to be about sensationalism. Right. talking about car wrecks, we are going to be covering things like that. However, a few years ago, there was a student who was in a car wreck, and the kids got together for days and weeks and held hands and prayed for this guy and just visited him in the hospital and things like that. Stories that come out of tragedy are going to be more about what we're focusing on.
So that picture there, this is why this is the heartbeat of it. The reason why we were so interested in a local paper is because the local stories are so important to the health of a community. Without local community papers, you just have this national publication that takes right. place. The thing that all of us watch on TV, the thing that we're all brainwashed by, these mega stories that supersede the local family, right, the local community. And that story there, a small group of high schoolers that gather together and pray for this person that was in a wreck, that needs told.
Mm-hmm.
That's children in this community. That's families in this community and what they're doing, right, to help serve their people. Mm-hmm. And so we just think that's invaluable.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to lose local stories. You don't want to lose your community, your stories. You never want to get rid of that.
Right.
And that's happening at a rapid, increasingly rapid pace. I think there's a statistic that talks about local papers going down by 25% as of 2005. And as of last year, it's a third of the local community papers in this country, be it free or otherwise, that are disappearing. And it's all because of, you know, the widespread social media and easily accessible other media that people listen to. And we talked about that before we went on the air, that I think why it's so important, it's relevant, it's important to a community to hear about what's going on in that community. Because if we continue to depend on or be subservient to or hostage to a national or global news broadcast, I think one of two things happen. Either, all too often, if the story is positive, which is very seldom, people kind of feel insignificant because it's positive in a national sense and you're really not part of that. And if it's negative, which is all too often the case, you feel helpless.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing you can do about it because it's a national story. When the news stays local, be it positive or in some cases negative, people feel empowered to do something about it or respond to it. And that's the opportunity we want to give the people of Franklin and Macon County with this new paper.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Otherwise, we have what's known as a news desert. And the professor at Western that I spoke to said that's happening so much. And she was so excited when she found out about Macon Sense. One, to build on what Dan just said, one thing that I'm going to tomorrow evening is a sex trafficking informational presentation at Discover Church. And yeah, that's one of those things where you hear about it on the news globally and nationally all the time, but you don't know what to do.
Right.
And so this presentation is supposed to provide information about what we can do locally to prevent that or to help with that or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And that's one of the examples. When you look at an issue like that, you're only going to resolve it on the local community scale. That's where you're going to make the impact. And if you do that in enough communities, you begin to change the national perspective of it, right?
Right.
You change it in a large fashion. Mm-hmm. But it always starts small.
Mm-hmm.
It always starts local. It starts with the people. The culture has to be shaped by the local community, by the
right.
local people. And so that's what we're trying to do here with this paper. We're trying to shape the culture of Macon County mm-hmm. in a way to where families are involved, families are believing again for the future. They're not pessimistic about the future. They're optimistic about schools, about children, about opportunities, about what could take place in this county. Like, we want to believe for good things that God has for us in this county.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier moving here from elsewhere. And I've lived a lot of places in the military and working for the government, been a lot of places. And I've talked often about the culture and the outlook, the attitude, if you will, in Franklin. And in particular, writing for the former paper, I've repeatedly told people that whenever I was talking to coaches, primarily at the high school and sometimes at the middle school level, here in Franklin, repeatedly, something about their faith or, you know, their worldview would come out in that interview, and I always did my best to include it in the articles. But what I found so refreshing, going back to what you talked about, Casey, is the prevailing sort of culture that's here in this town, and it isn't as common as it used to be. I hope that there's small towns around the country that it is, and we just don't know about it here. But to see it here in Franklin, for all the places I've been, it's so refreshing and encouraging, and we want to grow that or continue to sustain that with the paper, always focusing again on the positive and people who aren't afraid to talk about the Lord, their faith, and what it's done in their lives and what it does, how it steers their coaching or teaching of their kids and how they keep life lessons above scores of games.
Right.
It's just such a wonderful thing to see, and we definitely want to do our part to keep that alive here in Franklin. And if we can, you know, in that way, grow it throughout the county and throughout the state and beyond, all the better.
Yeah. We have an amazing community.
We do.
Macon County and Franklin and even up in Highlands and others. That's part of Macon County as well. But I really saw that when we had the pandemic in 2020 for especially like the shops on Main Street and some other
right.
places, absolutely coming together, keeping their doors open. And the citizens, you know, patronizing those shops and deciding not to to order things and focusing on. I had so many people tell me, I never thought about, you know, buying my kitchenware locally. You know, I always ordered it on Amazon, and then, you know, I realized the kitchen sink was open, and yeah. and I wanted to support them, or, you know, just so many different places, and it was so refreshing to see the community come together during that time.
So, just a few facts about the paper. It comes out on October 12th. Right now, we are going to release the paper every other Thursday. Is that correct?
Correct.
Every other Thursday, and we are, I mean, I read the facts earlier, everything that goes into producing this paper. And so as we get used to it, as we build up some reps and move forward, we're hoping that maybe we can produce this on a weekly basis for the community. So hopefully maybe next spring or next summer that we can work towards a goal like that. But we've got roughly 30 different distribution boxes throughout the county. Mm-hmm. We're looking to increase that. Any other facts that people know? The paper's called Making Sense. There'll be a website coming out very soon, hopefully right around the 12th or right after, makingsense.org.
Connected to social media, Facebook and Instagram.
Yep. Go ahead.
And we really encourage people to write in, and if they want to contribute in a opinion piece way, or if they want to write some articles, if they have some writing experience, they can contact me at Deena. DEENA at makingsense.org, or just contact at makingsense.org. When we need the support, Dan can talk a little bit more about this, of the businesses and the community in order to maintain a community newspaper. The reason why so many have gone to the wayside is because paper costs have gone up, print costs have gone up, just everything. And we want to sustain this.
Yeah, I got a question the other day about you know, it sounds like a great undertaking, but curious if you are a replacement in part for the Macon County News, which was a free paper, and it went down for various reasons, it closed, how are you guys going to sustain Making Sense? And of course, none of us have the answer to that. We're relying on God to lead us, but from a more pragmatic sense, I tell people, We joked earlier about a fourth career. Well, 4.5 career is selling ads, because I never did that before either. And Jay Baird's by far our lead. However, when I go into businesses, being honest and fair about what we're doing, and we hear about people missing the free paper, we tell them, hey, we're free. And if you like us, we need support. And our support comes through businesses advertising in the paper. Yep. And if any other support comes about, we're not aware of that yet. But so while we're going to try to report objective news and stories locally that are going to interest people, we will be as healthy as the advertising that we get to sustain this paper. And
there will also be opportunities for people to just support us on the website. If they just if they like the newspaper and they want to continue to keep it in the community, and they just want to support us, just like NPR. We're a nonprofit, and we will welcome that.
Yeah, that's so those are the two main revenues of this paper, right? Advertising, that's what keeps this thing alive. And then being a nonprofit publication, it ensures that every dollar that would be donated, if you want to make a donation to Making Sense, you can make that donation, and it goes to the paper. It doesn't go to padding your or my pockets. Correct. It doesn't do that at all.
Keeps the paper alive.
It keeps the paper alive. And what we're trying to do, just so you know, is it's part of our heart right now that we want to begin to build this paper and create it to where it would begin to pour into the next generation of writers and journalists and managers. So that way this would last. It would be a local production that would last and ensure that Macon County has a news, a voice of itself.
Yeah. The professor at Western, I know I keep referring to her. She said that she would love to see some of her students stay in the communities instead of having to go, you know, somewhere out of state or nationally or whatever to have a career in journalism.
Yeah.
And she was excited. She wants to have her students do some internships and her alumni to start freelancing. So that's really exciting.
And it's like a church. If we keep it young, it'll grow, right? We're not going to be around forever with all the careers we've had, but having the opportunity for people to report youngsters, whether it be at high school or college. And again, just keeping a focus on local happenings. We feel like that's one of the things that people appreciated so much about Macon County News. And we certainly hope to build on that with this paper going forward.
Well, Dan, Dina, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. And thank you. If you have any questions, do reach out to us at contact@makingsense.org. Thank you for listening to the Kvode Family Podcast. Please like, share, and leave us a review. If you've enjoyed this content, or if you're familiar with some of our programs and partners in the Kvode Family Network, please consider becoming a donor at kvodefamily.com/donation. God is in the process of restoring all things to himself. That begins with a person. That person is part of a family, and that family belongs to a community. Kvode Family is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry.